This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money is live on the eve of July 4th. We welcome you back downtown Las Vegas, Bar Canada at the D. I'm Ben Wilson, in for Patrick these next couple of days. Sitting to my right, a man who needs no introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway because that's my job as the host of the show. Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor. Wanted to make sure I get that right. And I call him the patriarch of our NFL betting guide that was just released last week. Adam, a pleasure to be on with you. We hosted a show together last week. We used to host a great show called The Run Line here at VSiN. I contend the best show to ever get canceled in the network's history. But here we are together.
I agree. Best show to ever get canceled. And honestly, we tried to strong-arm producer Wyatt here into doing the last 2 hours of this show as The Run Line. But he dug his heels in and said no.
He dug his heels in, as is wont to do for a Wisconsinite. We have two Wisconsinites on the show today.
And an Ohioan.
A lot of Midwestern.
I feel like I never mentioned that I'm from Cleveland. Maybe I should do that more often.
You should. Your OTP, whenever you're a guest, is a picture of you from your wedding at Progressive Field in Cleveland, which is allegedly the last time you wore a tie. I don't know if that's true or not. Is it?
It's the last time I wore a tie that wasn't a clip-on, Ben.
So you're saying you didn't have a clip-on at your wedding?
Of course
I'm at least
not.
I'm at least
no,
proud
somebody,
of you for
somebody
not
else tied
stooping
it.
That low.
Somebody else tied it for me.
No. You're better than others. That's all I will say on that. We will have a lot of baseball, though, to talk about because that is the main sport with action going on right now. As much as I would love to do a three-hour live Wimbledon betting show, Adam, I think you might, fall asleep.
I would struggle. I would struggle through that.
Yeah? You wouldn't want to be set up on, on Matteo Berrettini, Yannick Sinner?
Are you prepared to do that?
I mean, I am. Oh. And I live to watch tennis, but I mean.
All right. Well, I'll text Zachary Cohen, and he can come do 3 hours, and I'll go do something else.
Okay.
I'll go play Sigma Derby, so
we
I can still hear you guys.
We are literally in a casino, so there are definitely options.
There are things to do.
To do that,
yes.
There are things
yes.
to do. We will. If there's anything notable as far as upsets that happen while we're on the show, I will at least mention them very, very briefly here as we just get things started. Tyler Shoemaker is going to join us for our next two segments. Excited to have one of our great VSiN.com contributors join us to talk some WNBA takeaways through the first portion of the season. He'll break down some of his modeling, the T-Shoe Index. You roped him into doing a segment with us today, Adam. We've got him for a half hour. So pumped for that. And Robbie Kylon to join us to talk some NBA offseason topics. There are a lot of offseason topics for us to talk about now that we are in free agency, including the thing we all saw coming, but it was officially made official today, which was LeBron James back in an L.A. uniform, 2 years, $104 million, after they signed his son, Bronny James, to the four-year rookie contract. That really doesn't move the needle at all, Adam, but what I'm interested in and what I think drives a lot of bettors crazy now is that DraftKings has offered a number of Bronny James props, which, if we're being honest here, the best way to bet these would just be blindly to bet no. Because while the odds are Bronny James to score 15-plus points in any single game are set at minus 110, Adam, I would set the over-under on number of games played as probably 9.5, even in a Laker uniform this upcoming season. Yet you can't bet the no on all these, and that is really a shame because I think smart bettors would be pounding no's if they had the option to.
Yeah, it's always tough with one-way markets like these that are posted over there. And hey, credit to them for capitalizing on something that's a really big burning topic right now. But again, with a one-way market, no two-way betting, it does make it tough to really go in on these things. Look, I guess it's pretty simple, right? LeBron's going to play 2 years with his kid, and that's going to be it. And then he's going to start an expansion for NBA franchise here in Las Vegas.
We would love that.
It has to happen, right? Like, it just has to. I mean, Vegas needs an NBA team.
All rumors I've heard have been that he will be tied to whatever ownership group. It won't be him outright,
right?
But he will have
a
piece.
He probably could if he really wanted to, but it won't be him outright. No, but again, we're talking billion with a capital B. Okay, maybe capital all of the letters in billion for him in terms of net worth
and bold italicized underlined font as well.
So play 2 years with his kid, which was kind of what he wanted to do anyway. At least a year, maybe two. So hey, good for him. Still has a lot left in the tank though too, because he's just a physical freak.
There was at least the tiniest of odds movement on the Lakers. I don't know how you thought on this, Adam. It wasn't like there was ever a threat. I remember we had a couple of guests on over the last week asking, okay, what's the actual probability of LeBron James returning to L.A.? Because there were odds out on James's next team, which are in the minus 500 range, which would suggest 83% or so implied probability. And all guests we had on the air said it was more like 99% that he would be back. Yet, despite all that, we did see the slightest of ticks in the odds market toward the Lakers, now 14-1 here. They, at DK, are your fifth choice. And yet, most NBA bettors you talk to, Adam, would still probably power rate the Lakers as of right now. What, no higher than sixth, wouldn't you say? Sixth, seventh?
Yeah, and that's fifth choice at 14-1 to win the West. They're 30-1 to win the NBA title. And, look, I mean, Dalton Knecht's probably going to be a pretty good player for them. You know, I think that the Knecht is a guy that can kind of feed off of LeBron and what LeBron's able to do by driving to the lane, attracting so much attention that Knecht can – no, I mean, he's more than a spot-up shooter, certainly, but he is a guy that, you know, does have that in his repertoire. But, I mean, other than that, like, we know Anthony Davis is going to get hurt, missed a chunk of games. Like, it's not like they really got any better. And Bronny's not an impact player by any means. So, I don't know why anyone would want to be invested in the Lakers other than maybe, like, some kind of nostalgia bet, romanticism, something like that.
And you also know, too, not that we need to remind bettors of this, but if you ever want to bet a team like the Lakers, the tax you're paying, especially if you're tying up your money for months on end, is already very, very significant, and that will only be tied into win totals once those eventually get released this summer and the like. Bronny James is on the Rookie of the Year odds board. He's 250-1. It should be more like 250 million to one.
What do you think about Connect at 12-1 to win Rookie of the Year?
It's not a bad bet.
I don't think so. I mean,
he's NBA ready.
Right, he's NBA ready, and from a usage standpoint, like, he's going to get his opportunities because who else is LeBron going to trust on this roster to potentially be a scorer? I mean, and as a lot of people have talked about, and people like Zach Cohen know more than I do on this, and Jonathan Von Tobel as well, like, this was not a good NBA draft class. Like, not at all. One of the worst of all time. Like, Connect goes to a situation where he's playing with a guy in LeBron who, like, LeBron is very much aware of everyone around him on the floor. And Connect is, I mean, given that Anthony Davis is going to miss time, Connect, is he the second best scorer on that team already?
And you're on a playoff team, most likely. You could make a case that Connect by the end of the season, especially when you consider all the injury issues that have plagued some of the other surrounding parts for the LA Lakers, and even some guys they're expecting back to be better, like a Rui Hachimura, there's no guarantees on that. Well, of the double-digit guys, Connect is along with Rob Dillingham, my two favorites, if you're looking at Rookie of the Year. Dillingham's at 18-1, and while it's certainly deeper, you know, the pool of players in Minnesota, Dillingham's certainly a guy who will get minutes and could be a very important contributor as a six-man for, a really good playoff team in Minnesota.
Well, and obviously it's been said, right, and maybe this is reflective in the price, but you mean to tell me a guy like J.J. Redick's not going to be able to figure out how to use Dalton Connect? Like, I mean, you know, they're not similar players completely, but there are similarities to their games to where it's going to make sense for Connect to be a guy who gets the volume necessary to put up some numbers. And, like, he's going to play a lot, too, because, I mean, it's really not that great of a roster when you think about it.
If only we had a podcast where we could get the insights into J.J. Redick's mind and how he sees the game of basketball. That'd be really useful.
It's true. It's a good point.
Other news today. We will talk a lot of baseball as the show continues. There is a full card coming up starting in the 6 p.m. Eastern hour, but we have a pre-trade deadline move made, Adam. For people wondering, when would the trade start to come in? Well, this was really the first one of any significance for a contending team, and it's the second straight year that Aaron Civale gets dealt. Last year, Civale goes from Adam Burke's Cleveland Guardians to the Tampa Bay Rays. Numbers not good this year for Civale, ERA over 5, but all the advanced stats would suggest he has been getting really unlucky so far for the Rays. And he gets dealt today to the Milwaukee Brewers in exchange for one minor leaguer. Certainly a plus add here for a Milwaukee team that has been devastated by injuries in their pitching staff. That's really been the one weakness here for the Brew Crew. I am a big fan of this move for Civale. Have been a fan of his for the last couple of years, even if the numbers don't necessarily indicate that he's a legit top 25, top 30 starter.
Yeah, so first of all, I mean, look, you know, the Rays do this all the time, right? A guy starts making money, they have to make some shrewd financial decisions because they just don't have a whole lot of payroll flexibility. And you're in a position now with Tampa Bay where they may make the playoffs. I think it's still a possibility, but I don't think that they will be a factor if they are able to get there. So Civale is a guy, you know, he's making about $5 million this year. So, you know, the Brewers lead about 2.5-ish now with given where we are in the season. But he's a guy who's arbitration eligible for next year. So he was going to cost some money for the Rays. So they thought, okay, you know, let's try to capitalize here on a starting pitching market where a lot of teams are invested, a lot of teams need it. And so the Brewers go out there and they trade Gregory Barrios, I believe his name is, playing in high A, 20 years old, decent stick, decent contact bat, kind of more of a glove-first speed type of guy. A really interesting player for the Rays, a lottery ticket for them to gamble on. You know, they're not exactly getting the value back that they traded for Savali because they sent Kyle Manzardo to Cleveland. And while his first go-around in the big leagues wasn't great, he's a guy who still projects as a very good hitter long-term. But as far as this move goes for the Brewers, you're getting Savali. As you said, you know, the underlying metrics look a little bit better. 5.07 ERA, but a 4.15 expected ERA. The 4.69 FIP is high because he's had a massive home run problem this year. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Rays are asking him to do something that he typically hasn't done throughout the course of his career. What they do with their starters is they ask them to work up in the zone with the fastball. They want to try and take the sting out of the bat by working up around the letters. Well, Savali's not a guy who throws particularly hard, and he's a guy whose curveball is his best pitch. So I think the Brewers kind of look at this, and they're like, okay, we can probably maximize the arsenal of this guy a little bit better than what Tampa Bay is doing. The other thing, and you know this as well as I do, Ben, the Brewers have found a lot of success in recent years by developing cutters with their pitchers. I mean, they basically resurrected Wade Miley's career by working on a cutter with him. Savali already throws a cutter over 30% of the time, so they're just going to round that into form. They're a very smart, well-run organization. I like this move for the Brewers, who desperately needed some starting pitching.
You can already see what Milwaukee's trying to do with a resurrection of Dallas Keuchel, who was actually pretty good at Coors Field last night, taking off the scrap heap. Keuchel has made a couple starts. He's right now, though, based on the current depth chart, their number two option. And he was just signed off the street. So it tells you where the lack of depth is and what Milwaukee really needs going forward. Brewers, significant favorites to win the NL Central. Rays now plus 425 just to make the playoffs. A team who's been at 500 all year. That will be a big sweat for bettors who took over 84.5 on the Rays total in preseason. When we come back, a couple segments here in studio with Tyler Shoemaker, creator of the T-Shoe Index. We'll talk all things WNBA, as well as how he formulates his model and a whole bunch of other topics as we're just getting started here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. And we have an unbeatable price right now that you can only get for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro for just $199. It's normally $240 a year. You can subscribe right now by using promo code SHARP. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That is 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides. Like the NFL guide to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide with this incredible deal. It's VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code SHARP. You get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 and access to the NFL guide, VSiN.com/subscribe. Back on the Wednesday edition of Sharp Money, I'm Ben Wilson, joined by Adam Burke. Our producer Wyatt Tomchek is here. And so pleased for the next two segments to be joined by a man you see his work so often on VSiN.com. It is Tyler Shoemaker, clearly a fan of the Bronny James draft based on his wardrobe today. So good to have you on, man.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here. I had to represent for the Lakers and Bronny.
He's putting the sharp in sharp money with the there way he's go. Dressed here.
That I was waiting for Adam to
Five
go with
points
that
for
line.
Adam right there.
I'm glad that you did that. Are you going to be betting the Bronny James 250-1 rookie of the year? You're not drinking that Kool-Aid enough.
No, I like to win money when I bet, so I'm going to stay away from
smart
that.
Smart man. Should not even be on the odds board, but that's neither here nor there. What we do want to talk about, though, you know, it's this summer stretch. I think a lot of people are gearing up for, you know, betting on football, whether that's college, that's NFL, and just your model in general here, the T-Shoe Index. That's where you follow Tyler, by the way. You're doing this across multiple sports. We're going to get into some WNBA this segment, then talk NFL in our next segment with you. But just from a very, you know, basic standpoint, I think a lot of people always ask, especially when they have some downtime in summer, all right, well, how do I create a model if I want to do this? What goes into it? What does it spit out? How do I use that data to bet for you? How did this all start? And what were kind of the key elements that you looked into as you started to create it?
Yeah, so this has been about a 7-year, you know, evolution of the model, which literally started with a pen and paper and has, you know, evolved into a more basic spreadsheet. And then as I learned more like Python scripts and things like that, more automation, it's gotten more and more complex over the years. But, you know, basically I wanted to be able to solve and answer the question, how many, and regardless of sport, to your point, how many points would Team A be expected to score and allow versus Team B? Because there are now, in this day and age of analytics, there's a stat and a number for everything. So there's a lot of noise out there. So you have to be able to sift through that. And again, it's been a lot of trial and error over the years. But I wanted to have something that, you know, I spit out just an offensive rating and a defensive rating for every team so that the people that are looking at my work can easily digest it. Because when you start talking about, you know, in football, EPA per play and this and that, I think it gets confusing to the average fan. So I wanted to have something very simple and digestible that I can put out there.
Tyler, you know, I'm a big-time data guy, right? I'm big into sabermetrics. I'm big into a lot of the advanced stats in the football community. And a lot of times, you know, you need significant sample sizes for those things to really be relevant. So in terms of your model, are you looking at full-season data? Or are you kind of weighting maybe recent form a little bit more? How does that kind of play out with the tissue index?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something I'm always testing on the side. So, for instance, last year I pretty much relied mostly on season-long data, both for football and basketball. This year I'm taking a little bit different approach based on some back testing that I did, and I am weighing the last five games more heavily than I was before, whereas I was weighing them all kind of the same season-long. But now I am putting more emphasis on those recent games, which I think helps kind of get ahead of the market in a lot of cases, you know, when a team gets hot or goes the other way and is falling off a cliff, like we'll talk about here in a little bit with the Connecticut Sun, who have really dropped over the last handful of games.
Sure. I think the hardest thing, too, you talk about getting ahead of the market, it's for anybody who even puts together their own numbers, whether it's using a deep dive model or just doing it more by feel, you make a number, you check the market, and oftentimes if you are off, you're thinking, I think a lot of us, our first instinct is, okay, am I doing something wrong here? If I'm so far off, and especially if it's, say, NFL, right, where you have a very well-respected market, lots of people, lots of money betting into it, how do you parse that together and figure out, okay, I'm off, say, by 4 or 5 points. Where do you kind of draw the line of, oh, this means it's a max bet versus, okay, do I need to tweak things and figure out how the model should be slightly more in line with the market, even if it shouldn't be in lockstep every single time?
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of people do fall into. They either go one extreme or the other with it, where they either just use the market as their starting point to make their number, which you're not really going to beat the market if you're using their number. But then on the other side of it, to your point, you also don't want to be so far off the market that it just doesn't make sense and you might be missing something. So for me, you know, for instance, with my college football numbers, my preseason numbers, I don't look at the market before I do it. I get my first kind of rough draft of them. I reference the market at that point and then say, okay, do I need to come up or down on a team based on the data that I have? But if the data doesn't support it, I don't, you know, just pull numbers out of thin air.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, like Clemson, for instance, is a team that I'm significantly off on from the market, but that's just what the data tells me.
So speaking of the data here, we're about halfway through the WNBA season. It's 40-game season, the fewest number of games Las Vegas Aces have played 17. We were actually there last night as they blew out the Indiana Fever. Now that the market is tightening up, do you find yourself trusting your numbers more to go out there and try and get some of that line value?
Yeah, I was actually just noticing this morning because I do track my absolute error, you know, how accurate my numbers are. And that number, as we've gone here over the last couple of weeks, is ticking down. You know, for most of the season, it was around 10 points of error on both the side and the total. And that's down to 9 points now overall.
It's really nice when you can have a reference point like that. As we're joined by Tyler Shoemaker here on VSiN Sharp Money, we'll talk specifically here some WNBA right now. As far as the game-to-game stuff, you guys mentioned being at the fifth most highest recorded attendance in WNBA history last night, although it ended up being a blowout. Aces beat the Fever with Caitlin Clark in her first game coming to Las Vegas over at T-Mobile Arena. Just one game on the card tonight. What do you look at for, say, Phoenix and Dallas, who Dallas has certainly been on the bottom end of the spectrum, really struggling this year. Phoenix, a 5-point road favorite. And a big move to the over, which has been a common theme in recent NBA weeks here, Tyler, 171.5. How do your numbers match up with where the market is at in let's just say, this one-off specific example tonight?
Yeah, I wrote about this at VSiN.com today. Dallas has been so disappointing. One of the worst bets I made this year was betting their season win total over. They have just been a dumpster fire. But even more frustratingly so, they've been inconsistent, where there have been nights where they compete with elite teams, so it's really been hard to get a gauge on them. My numbers project the Mercury -7.5 in this game, but we're hearing rumblings that Brittany Griner won't play. I have her worth about 3 points to the spread, which would put it right in line with the market at 4.5. And then on the total, I project about 170, so really no edge to be had here tonight in Mercury Wings game.
So you do have a couple of games on Thursday, and that article that you referenced over at VSiN.com, because there was only the one game tonight, you threw in the Thursday projections as well, which, you know, is a good thing, right? I mean, if you're able to follow Tyler on X, at Tissue Index, you know, you are posting your opening numbers, right, getting in front of the market a little bit. And as I said, we got a couple of games tomorrow night. You'll actually be at the Las Vegas Aces game against the Washington Mystics, and they're a monster favorite in that one. But you mentioned the Connecticut Sun, a team that has kind of stood out a little bit here in your model. They're about a two-point dog taking on the Minnesota Lynx. Total in the 154.5 range. What's your play in this one, and what is the model telling you?
Yeah, I really like the under here. These are the top two defenses in the league per my numbers. I actually project this total at like 142. So a huge discrepancy. You know, like we talked about, I did go double check to make sure that that was correct, because that is, you know, a huge discrepancy. And I normally don't see that big of a discrepancy from the market, but that's what the data says, and I'm going to ride with it. And I certainly don't have any trepidation of betting an under with the Lynx and the Sun, who have been really, really prominent under teams this year.
So you told me last night, actually, when we were at the game, because, like I said, you're going to the Mystics and Aces game tomorrow. I think you said you had the Aces around a 10.5-point favorite as of last night. Market showing them a 16.5-point favorite in tomorrow night's game. Did you adjust the Aces off of that performance last night? And if so, is it still a play for you on the Mystics?
So the number still is 10 for me. I think that has to do with the Mystics are dealing with a lot of injuries right now. None of those players are what I would consider elite, you know, line moving players, at least the way I would adjust my number. So I'm comfortable at the 10 with the Aces. I will say, though, over the last five games, the Aces, I mean, since Chelsea Gray's been back, they've been on fire. I wouldn't want to bet against them right now. I'm kind of taking caution here and thinking maybe my numbers haven't quite caught up to how good the Aces are with Chelsea Gray in the lineup.
Power ratings wise, Ace is still favored to win it all. 6-6 start, 5 wins in a row since the Chelsea Gray return from injury. Liberty at +185. It's been a very weird discourse as far as the Aces getting off to the slow start, not what we're used to seeing for the two-time defending champs. Where do you have those top two just in your own ratings as we stand right now?
Yeah, so I've got the Liberty still number one by about 2 points above the Aces, and then another drop before you get to the Lynx and the Sun. I do think we're probably on another collision course here for the Liberty and the Aces. They've got the most star power in the league. I mean, Adam said it last night at the game. It was just amazing to see Asia Wilson just in her bag. I mean, Kelsey Plum had a great game, but Asia Wilson is just a machine. And the Liberty, though, have Jonquel Jones, who is a nice matchup for her inside. So I'm excited. I hope that is the finals, and I'd be excited to watch that.
Fun atmosphere last night, to say the least. I mean, you guys were enjoying it. It was a packed house. You wish it would have been a slightly closer game, but still great to see how the WNBA has grown and so much more betting interest as a result. Tyler Shoemaker with us here on Sharp Money. Follow him at Tissue Index, and we will keep Tyler on for another segment because we're going to talk about what he wrote in his NFL betting guide. We'll dive into the NFC South with Tyler when we come back here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Right now on VSiN.com, we have all sorts of best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's a refreshed look, optimized for mobile. Hey, our Adam Burke, he's on the homepage. I wonder how he finagled that. Talking MLB best bets for the rest of the Wednesday card. Also, Tyler Shoemaker with his write-ups on the WNBA, NFL, college football, any sport where Tyler has a model attached to it. You will see his work at VSiN.com. As we have Tyler on with us for another segment here on VSiN Sharp Money with Adam Burke, Wyatt Tomczyk, our producer. I'm Ben Wilson. All right, Tyler, ready for some NFL. I mean, WNBA is great. It's a great way to pass the time in summer, and there are great betting edges to be had, but a lot of interest now with our NFL betting guide being released on how to look at some futures here for the NFL season. You were tasked with the NFC South division for our guide here. As far as let's just start top down here with this division, when you're trying to put together a rating for a team with so much change, and Atlanta is a team who's favored to win the division, yet it's change across the board from a coaching perspective, quarterback perspective. How did you try to put together a proper rating on the Falcons who come in with that 9.5 win total?
Yeah, it was really difficult. So honestly, what I did, I looked at what Minnesota's numbers look like with Kirk Cousins to try to kind of account for maybe what the offense might do and project that forward. So, you know, last year they were only 27th in EPA per play and 20th in success rate. So the offense, I think, is going to take a huge step forward. The defense was pretty good, ranked 12th in defensive EPA per play and 5th in defensive success rate. So if the defense just stands pat and the offense takes the leap that I think a lot of people would expect them to with Kirk Cousins coming into the fold, I think they definitely should be the division favorites.
Well, and then, of course, you got Raheem Morris, first-year head coach there. One of a couple of first-year head coaches in this division, Dave Canales, of course, being the other one with the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, let's talk about Carolina for a second here because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Atlanta, right? There's been a ton of talk about Atlanta in terms of their futures price, you know, in terms of drafting Michael Penix Jr., which still to this day makes no sense. But when you get a really objectively bad team like Carolina, how are you able to, Tyler, in your model – you know, keep yourself from either being too low on that team or being in a position where you have to bet on them all the time?
It is a very frustrating proposition. That's a great question because I do find myself, like last year, I found myself showing value on Carolina a lot because, you know, everyone's just like, you know, people that bet teams and not necessarily numbers, no one wants to bet on Carolina because they're terrible. So that does show some value in the model from a week-to-week basis betting, but it is, I mean, it's ugly business trying to bet the Panthers on a weekly basis.
Well, so that's the question, right? I mean, are you hardline, like the model says, I have to bet this, I'm going to bet this, or do you apply, you know, a little bit of discretion to the whole thing?
I certainly have discretion. You know, I try to use my head. I basically will give the model the benefit of the doubt a couple of times, and then it's like, okay, my model just cannot keep up with how bad this team is, and then I just will write them off altogether and just stay away.
Talking NFC South here with Tyler Shoemaker. Wrote that division up for our VSiN NFL betting guide, which is now out, has been out now for about a week. I'm fascinated to your perspective of all these teams, Tyler, the Saints, from a pure numbers perspective. Saints are a team that I've bet on a lot over the last couple of years. A lot of respected bettors have liked New Orleans, yet they consistently come up short, in large part due to a very bad coach in Dennis Allen, who's among the worst of in-game managerial type of guys. But I don't know how much that really can get reflected in a model. So where do you look at it, a team like the Saints that continually looks good on paper, but clearly this year, finally, the betting market is soured on them, down to 7.5 on a win total. You're number two of Derek Carr, quarterback, but not a lot of optimism when you think about all the ways they've come up short these last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got them a little bit over that. I've got them more like 8.5 wins. So if I had to bet it, I would play them over. This is a team, when I got looking at the numbers, I do think they have a high floor, and obviously playing in this division, it's one of the weaker divisions in football. I mean, I think from a win total perspective, they do have a high floor. There are plenty of winnable games for them, certainly. This is probably a team that I'm higher on than the market. Last year, they were 14th in EPA per play on offense and 17th in success rate. A lot of that has to do with their offensive line just being shaky, and they really can't push the ball down the field. I mean, they've got Chris Olave, you know, they've got Alvin Kamara. They've got some weapons. I just wonder if they can protect Derek Carr.
Well, and something you noted about the Saints here, and something you noted about the Falcons as well, these are two teams that have very, very weak schedules. The Falcons you actually have with one of the weakest schedules, along with Steve Mackinnon, who does a lot of numbers stuff for our NFL guide and for us over at VSiN.com. You know, the Falcons have a very, very weak schedule. Also, the Saints with a very weak schedule here. So, obviously, a lot of that has to do with the division that they play in because they're playing each other, and this is probably going to be, once again, the weakest division in the NFL, I would say. But how much, you know, do you invest in those win total markets, and how much does strength of schedule, you know, kind of factor into the model for you?
Yeah, a lot because, you know, obviously I want to come up with the power rating, but then when you couple the power rating, which I have the Saints just above league average, I've got them at a 0.9. And then you combine that with the fact they've got the second worst schedule in the league behind the Falcons, like you said, you know, that would be a recipe for an over, I think. So I absolutely factor that in.
Tyler Shoemaker with us right now on VSiN, native of Greenville, South Carolina, which means you're no stranger to the Fox number 6 game. You know, Panthers, Bucks, you get the last crew, goes to about 6% of the country. Tyler's watching that game locally, then I assume you're finding other ways to watch the rest of the games here. Buccaneers, the one team you've yet to talk about at 7.5. It's sort of wild. I think we all perceive this division because of how weak it has been over the last couple of years is thinking there's been a lot of change as far as different division winners, yet the Bucs are the three-time defending NFC South champions here and continue to, at least based on last season, evade and outperform a lot of the preseason predictions and odds here. Where do you stand on a team Second on the odds board, 3-1 to win the division here, Tyler, and 7.5 again on their win total.
Yeah, I'm at 8.2. That was at 8.5, and I agree with the move down. I would have been on the under at 8.5 as well. You mentioned it. They kind of over exceeded expectations last year. So I think this is a team that's probably due for some regression. Similar to the Saints, I wrote this up. I think they're similar to the Saints in the fact that they do have kind of a high floor. Like, I don't think they're just going to bottom out, but I also question their ceiling. I also question the 3-year extension they gave Baker Mayfield off of a 1-year sample when, you know, his track record in Cleveland does not support that. You know, I think last year was more of a one-off for him. Happy to be proven wrong there, but this is the team I wouldn't want to bet an over on the Bucs. I think they're due for some regression this year.
Well, of course, the Bucs did lose offensive coordinator Dave Canales to Carolina, so, you know, we'll see what kind of impact that has here in the NFC South. Tyler, if you had to here on July 3rd, is this the Falcons' division to lose? Would that be your pick to win this?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I don't know how you could put your money on any other team right now based on the data and the information we have available.
Right. Follow-up question. Do they make any noise in the playoffs if they get there in your estimation? Or at least based on what your numbers are telling you, you know, this far in advance?
Yeah, I mean, they certainly have the potential. I mean, Bijan Robinson back, obviously. If the offense, like I said, if the offense gets going and the defense can just maintain what it did last year or be anything close to what it was last year from a metrics perspective, I think they absolutely can. Because I think the league is pretty top-heavy in terms of the AFC teams, at least according to my ratings. But, yeah, I think they absolutely could make a little bit of noise. I wouldn't expect them to win the Super Bowl or anything, but I think they could win a playoff game.
I think it's also good, too, something you were just touching on, noticing where early market moves have gone, because a lot of bettors are just now saying, all right, let me put together my thoughts on the season, let's make some bets. But this market has started to get chiseled into form. That's not to say there isn't value to be found here, Tyler, but what have you noticed specifically with this division? You mentioned one move here, Bucks getting bet a full win to the under. What have been the biggest moves you've seen, whether that's win totals, odds position, or even some of the props that are out there that might be worth at least mentioning here to bettors so far?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't done a whole lot of win total bets or prop bets on the NFL yet. I'm a little late to the party here, doing obviously my WNBA work and my college football work. But like you said, I think at this point, being if you're just now getting in the game, you're probably behind here. So to answer your question, I haven't noticed any huge moves on this division in particular.
Well, we're about 2 months or so away from the start of the NFL season. It'll be week one here. Yeah, September 5th, right, is the kickoff game. Yeah. And interestingly enough, that kickoff game is one that you have some interest in here because you wrote this up as your best bet in the NFL betting guide, taking a look at Baltimore and Kansas City. In that game, Kansas City, of course, back-to-back Super Bowl champions. You mentioned to me last night when we were watching the Aces, too, back-to-back WNBA champions. The regular season seems kind of boring for them, right? I mean, yeah, Chelsea Gray came back and they played differently. They found another gear. But are you worried about that at all with the Kansas City Chiefs in week one taking on a really good Ravens team?
Yeah, 100%. I've got the Ravens as my top team in my preseason ratings. And I think the Chiefs' regular season rating last year kind of reflected some championship fatigue, as I called it. I think it's very difficult in any sport, but in pro sports in particular. Like I said, you saw that with the Warriors, you know, in their glory days. It's hard to be even winning championships or even just being in contention for a championship year after year. It's just mentally and physically taxing. And I think those teams have to kind of slog their way through regular season sometimes, which I think is going to open up some value here betting against the Chiefs in the regular season.
3-point favorite the Chiefs are opening night. Lost last year as 4.5-point favorites opening night outright there to the Detroit Lions. A best bet for week one already in the can from our Tyler Shoemaker. Follow him at T-Shoe Index. Great to have you on, man. True pleasure here getting some time to spend it. Just breaking down your brain. We wanted to see how it worked, and we got some insight. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Tyler Shoemaker with us here on VSiN Sharp Money. We'll continue the NFC South discussion when we come back right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams to win with win total projections for all those teams. New quarterback and head coach breakdown, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from all the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. Big thanks to Tyler Shoemaker, who is a focal part of the guide, broke down the NFC South for us, does a lot at VSiN.com, at Tissue Index, for joining us here over the last two segments. Adam Burke, you can speak to all the contributions Tyler has made as our VSiN Managing Editor. So great to have Tyler here in the flesh, in person, in studio.
Yeah, sharp-dressed man.
And a
sharp
dress.
You couldn't see it on the show, but the shoes match
the
blazer and
jacket.
The shirt. So,
shirt
you know, a guy who pays close attention to the fashion side of things and how he looks, and clearly I don't, so I envy him for that. But, yeah, he does a lot of stuff for us over at VSiN.com, especially because, you know, I think it's really valuable to have something that's proprietary that, you know, he's able to write about. I mean, that is his model and his model alone, doing it for WNBA, NFL, college football, men's and women's college basketball, where, you know, that's a pretty soft betting market when you talk about women's college basketball. So, you know, he's able to get a lot of line value, get out in front of a lot of numbers.
Between Tyler and our producer, Wyatt Tomczyk, voice of the UNLV women's basketball team, we've got a lot of – when it comes to that time of year – just earmark this show.
I make sure I check Tyler's article every day about what he thinks about the Lady Rebels.
You gotta incorporate that into a broadcast, Wyatt. Of the today the Tissue Index power rating in the Lady Rebels versus San Diego State Aztecs game.
You know, Ben Wilson, you got an idea, and if I get in trouble, I'll say Ben Wilson pressured me.
Yeah, you could. I think you should do that, Wyatt. I will take the fall for you, fellow play by play guys. Adam.
Right,
we've got each other's backs.
I wouldn't know. I'm not part of that community.
You know, Gil asked me on a numbers game. It's like, is there a feud between you and Ben? I'm like, what? Why no?
Is there a feud?
No. Like, is there a competition with? I'm like, no. We're fellow Wisconsin. Well, he's a true Wisconsinite. I just adopted the state.
I owe Wyatt cops next time we're in Wisconsin because he gave me a ride today. That's how friendly of a guy.
By the way, okay. Right,
first of all, why did you need a ride?
Car service.
Okay.
Took longer than expected.
All right. Second of all,
if you must know,
can't remember the point I was going to make, but it'll come to me eventually.
Cops? Cops?
No, it wasn't that.
Oh, okay. I just assumed you didn't know what that was, and you wanted clarification.
No.
Well, he didn't. He said Spotted Cow was overrated yesterday, so I wanted to bring that up to you. But cops, if you're ever in Wisconsin, mainly the Brookfield area, it's like a suburb of the Milwaukee. Best frozen custard you will ever have.
Okay.
I sent Ben a picture when I was there, and he's just legendary. That is what that place
is. Best ice cream you will ever have, and you can ask our colleague Stormy Montantoni. It is Handles right here in the Valley, which is an Ohio thing, started in the Boardman area. I realized what I was going to ask. Does anybody actually have a feud with you? Is there somebody on this planet who doesn't like Ben Wilson?
Any Chicago Bear fans?
I think yes. There's a guy, I don't know his name, but we sat next to each other at the Red Rocks Sportsbook March Madness 2016. He was what it can only be best described as a loudmouth Chicagoan who was on his phone the entire time. He had a huge bet on Baylor money line. This is round one, 2016, Baylor versus Yale in a 5-12. I took the dog outright with Yale, and I'm just silently sitting there listening to this guy just bloviate about how smart of a bettor he was. And he lost, and Yale came back. They won the game outright. It was the biggest money line dog I had cashed in that. It was the first day of that tournament, so it was early. And I remember just kind of giving him that look. And I'm also like, whatever, 20.
So to this point.
Like, right, let's go. Wyatt, I think that guy hates me.
The only instance of somebody disliking Ben Wilson happened 8 years ago, and he remembers every single detail about it. That's how rare it must be.
I mean, it is also a very, memorable game in NCAA tournament history because who was was it Torian Prince that had the line afterwards about they were asked, how did Yale out-rebound Baylor? And he goes, well, they went up when the ball hit the rim and it bounced off the rim and they grabbed it with two hands. That's considered a rebound, and they did that more than us.
It's so classic. What young people forget to realize is that once upon a time, Scott Drew was a great fade in the NCAA tournament. It's not that way anymore, at least for the most part. But that used to be just the best auto bet you could make, just fade Baylor in the tournament. And Yale almost beat Duke. They gave Duke a scare in round two that year. That was a really good Yale team.
You know, I still don't really like Scott Drew, but, I mean, you want to talk about tournament fades, Rick Barnes is still even though Tennessee's, you know, had a couple of decent runs here, it's still Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes has usurped.
Rick Barnes is so bad.
Scott Drew.
So bad.
Yeah. It is what it is at this point. But 2016, never forget where I was for that.
You know, it might be a great fade this year. The Falcons. Because every time I bet them last year, lost.
I have not made any bets yet either, right? What did you say?
In 2016, you weren't living here yet.
No, I was not.
Were you out here by yourself for March Madness?
No, my grandma lived here at that point. I was out here. I was on that was a great story. I was on the 5:30 a.m. Southwest flight from Kansas City to Vegas with fellow sports betting host Jeff Parles.
Okay.
And the flight ran out of – it was on St. Patrick's Day morning. Flight ran out of vodka by about 4:25 a.m. Pacific time on that flight.
The way you started that, I was like, ran out of fuel. I was like, wait, hold on.
No, it did not run out of fuel. We got it.
And then my dad picked me up at the airport.
We went straight to Red Rock, and it was a great day.
In a way, it ran out of fuel.
It did.
On St. Patrick's Day, that's fuel.
There was a guy dressed in a full leprechaun suit on our flight.
Can we let Parles defend himself for that decision?
Yes, you can. He's got to get him on. Find him. Wrangle him and get his answer wherever he's at. Have you made any bets on the NFC South? Because I have not, and it is a division that I tepidly selected New Orleans as my pick to win the division in the guide, only because I am one of those bettors that just rams their head against the wall repeatedly when I believe there should be a team that performs better than they continue not to do. But as long as Dennis Allen is the coach of the Saints, it's really hard for me to get there, even though my numbers say this is a division that New Orleans has all the ability to take if they can just stay out of their own way.
You know, it's really difficult because I want to find a plus money price to bet in this division and avoid Atlanta at the outset because Atlanta opens with Pittsburgh, and we know Mike Tomlin. There's all the stats about Mike Tomlin. I don't need to recite them here. We all know them. But Mike Tomlin is a guy who has his teams ready, right? And Art Smith obviously knows this Falcons personnel extremely, extremely well. So the Falcons play Pittsburgh at home in week one. They're at Philadelphia week two. They host Kansas City in week three. They could be 1-2 or 0-3 after those three games, which if that becomes the case, then they're going to be easily plus money to win this division unless all the other teams wind up struggling out of the gate. Like, I want to try to bet one of them at a plus price. I mean, Tampa Bay plays Washington at Detroit and Denver. Maybe Tampa Bay's 2-1 through their first three games. So maybe I start with a position on the Buccaneers, and then I kind of decide and reevaluate maybe going into week four if I want to take Atlanta at that point in time. So that's kind of the thought process that I have right now, but I haven't actually played anything in this NFC South yet.
Make a lot of sense on that. I keep going back to New Orleans and believing that with Clint Kubiak giving that team a breath of fresh air at the offensive coordinator position, a young mind. Keep in mind, he knows there are connections within this division too because Clint Kubiak was the Vikings OC couple years ago when Kirk Cousins was the quarterback. You don't think that will be valuable, Adam, when those two teams square off twice within the division this year? Already a group that under Ryan Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, top 10 across the board in run and pass defense last year. That's the group I keep coming back to. I've heard a weird amount of buzz, though, for Carolina being way, way better than the market indicates this year. And maybe people are getting sucked back in after they were a popular team to win the division last year before it all went horrifically wrong with Bryce Young, a rookie quarterback. But in a way, I can see any four teams winning the division to say it would shock me. I don't think I really would be, as much as that is crazy to think about a 2-15 team with a bad rookie quarterback last year and a very young, very fresh head coach.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the thing about the Saints, I'll say this real quick, is they're going to be dogs in four of their first five games and probably pretty significant dogs at that in several of them. So that's one that does concern me a little bit. But, I guess when you look at Carolina, and for what it's worth, Tyler Shoemaker, who was just on the show with us, the proprietor of the TSU Index, he has them down for 5.9 wins, which is about a win and a half above where their season win total line is right now. Canales had a smaller statured quarterback in Baker Mayfield and did a pretty good job with him there in Tampa Bay. Can he find a way to do something here with Bryce Young? I mean, was it just one of those cases where last year Bryce Young didn't really have great coaching, had a hard time adjusting to the NFL? And look, when he's going to be graded under the microscope next to C.J. Stroud, like, that's remarkably unfair. C.J. Stroud, one of the best rookie seasons we've seen in a very long time. So, like, maybe Bryce Young kind of is a little bit undervalued, underrated coming into the season if Canales kind of untapped, you know, some of that potential. But I still don't know if I can really buy in.
All I know is just don't bet that Panther-Saint game. Don't throw the Saints in eliminator unless you want to hate yourself week one. Because as much as New Orleans in a first game of the season against a new head coach should come out on top, you're asking for it if you're tying up your money in that way. That's all I would suggest on the week one.
Yep.
Alas, the NFC South. A lot of twisting and turning in that division. We'll reset, talk some NBA free agency when we come back. Hour number two of Sharp Money is next.